Item number seven, migratory waterfowl seasons and regulations, briefing and public hearing. So Kyle? Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, Chair Smith and other commissioners, directors. I'm excited to be presenting the proposals, brief you on the proposals for migratory waterfowl and other game bird, migratory game bird species, as well as a slight modification to the mandatory harvest report requirement that tags along with two of the proposals. So my name is Kyle Spragans. I am the waterfowl section manager based in Olympia. So migratory bird hunting seasons, that authority, the overall authority, lies with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. This is framed by the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. And every year, the species that are authorized to be allowed harvest upon, mainly waterfowl and some other migratory species, fall through a process of setting federal frameworks that set the earliest opening date, the latest closing date, limits for each of the species or species types, and the overall season lengths that we're allowed to make those decisions within. At the state level, we then have the discretion to adjust those seasons within that earliest opening, earliest closing, or latest closing to best fit our situation in this migratory pathway of these various species. So within the federal frameworks, our WAC can be more restrictive, but they cannot be more liberal than any of those suggestions. And season timing, the season timing has to be within those set dates. So just as a reminder, the term waterfowl sometimes simplifies what that really encompasses. In fact, in Washington, we have the great fortune of having this vast diversity of what would fall within the term waterfowl: ducks, geese, and swans. We actually have 27 different species of ducks that commonly occur in our state, whether during wintering periods or migration periods, but certainly throughout periods which we allow established harvest seasons. This includes 9 dabbling ducks, 5 diving duck species, 11 sea duck species, wood ducks, and ready ducks. For geese, this includes 12 different populations that are managed by flyway agreed management plans, agreements between the federal and state agencies to best manage sort of the allocation of where harvest might happen. And this falls into 4 different goose types: Canada cackling geese, for which we have 7 different populations, white geese, which are Snows and Ross, white-fronted geese, which we have a large migration, but we do not serve as the wintering ground, terminal wintering ground, and brant. We actually have 2 different types of brant that we have to consider for in this state. We also have 2 swans, which are closed to harvest, and I'll mention the one closed Canada subspecies is the dusky Canada goose in the lower right-hand corner there with the red neck collars. Sometimes forgotten is that we also, through this process, are setting season lengths and bag limits for doves, bandtail pigeons, coot, and snipe, which are all considered migratory game birds. So in terms of a process, there's sort of two concurrent processes going on, but really it's spanning a 3-year time frame from a perspective. We're taking in information from previous seasons to inform our suggested proposals to the federal frameworks. Meanwhile, looking at the upcoming seasons and setting those within our state decision framework here with the proposed changes to the WAC. So this is facilitated by the Pacific Flyway, for which each of the 11 western states sends a technical representative and a council member to meetings in March and in the fall to discuss these various management plans and harvest strategies for all migratory game birds. That then gets served up to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Regulations Committee in an October meeting, where they then hear the proposed changes and agree upon whether or not that fits within the frameworks, and then sends that back to the states to make those final adjustments that take the form of these WACs. So for duck populations, a lot of this decision is made based upon aerial surveys that are conducted in the summer. This screenshot actually shows our transects in Washington that we fly every year that inform a much bigger data set of breeding status for specifically ducks. The primary duck species that the decision comes from are mallards, partly because of their wide distribution, but partly because of their contribution to harvest flyway-wide. For example, here in Washington, our annual harvest is made up of about 50% mallards of a total harvest of sometimes in the 480,000 duck realm. So 200,000 mallards are harvested here in Washington. And a second critical piece of information that we take into consideration is what's pictured in the upper left, a large-scale banding operation that occurs nationwide, but particularly focused on those post-breeding mallards to help inform us about harvest rates, survival rates, and the harvest distribution of these species to help better inform whether or not bag limits and season lengths are appropriate. And so we fall within what we call the Pacific Flyway, which is illustrated by the red dots in that lower left photo. While mallards set the tone for the overall framework, the overall date length, season length, and the bag limits, there are certain species that actually have specific strategies assigned to them. One of the more common that people talk about is pintail, but also canvasback and scop have specific strategies that are required because of differences in how that species is allocated, you could say, in harvest across the flyway in comparison to mallard. So we have to take special precautions for those species. On a state level, we actually take another level of precaution when it comes to sea ducks. Washington serves a very unique role in the Pacific Flyway as serving as a massive wintering area for those 11 species of sea duck. They're highly sought after, but because of life history differences and just sort of concentration of where those species occur, we do have to take into consideration restricted bags on those species. We make that decision based off winter counts that we conduct through a survey called PSAMP, Puget Sound Ambient Monitoring Program, where set transects are flown and we have long-term status and trends on all of those sea duck species that we list down there. So for the duck season, it is actually very similar. It would be very similar to what the 16-17 season was because the pintail bag limit goes back up to 2 pintail per day. That was triggered by an increase in that breeding population survey that's conducted nationally. Otherwise, the general framework of 107 days, 7 duck bag limit, of which no more could be 2 hen mallard, stays the same. The one adjustment that we're proposing is with regards to the youth hunt weekend. In fact, there are 2 duck zones that occur here in Washington from a management perspective, and we, because of how the calendar has been shifting, those dates have become very early in September. They've traditionally been held together, both the West and the East, but that actually limits someone's opportunity to take advantage of the youth hunt on both the West and the East side. So this proposal would actually split that and actually have a slightly earlier, later than originally proposed, but the adjustment would allow for on the west side the youth hunt weekend to be September 22nd to 23rd, followed by on the east side September 29th through 30th. The sea duck limits stay as they have been for the last several years. In terms of goose populations, as I mentioned, these are guided by flyway management plans. So while there are broad framework...
The golden eye either species, because as I recall, the last time we looked, Vero's was a concern.
That's correct. So the two is applies to the golden eye aggregate. So it could be common or Vero's, but we keep that restriction particularly because of the Vero's counts, and also because of the concentration that Vero's seems to occur in the Puget Sound compared to common goldeneye. Common goldeneye are more broadly distributed. Right, yeah. Barrows are much more concentrated and sought after. Goose populations are more managed by flyway agreed upon management plans for each of the populations. While we have one locally nesting population, Western Canada geese, the big Canada goose that many people are familiar with, that harvest has to be considered against six other subspecies that of also white-cheeked geese that fly into our zone. So last year we took the step of actually separating out the goose types, the Canada cackling type on the left, white geese, which includes snow and Ross geese in the center, and white-fronted geese on the right. One of the comments that we keep getting is why the bag limits were set the way they were, with four Canada cackler, six white geese, and 10 greater white-fronted goose. And what this reflects is a level of responsibility in comparison to what that management plan's population objective sets. So in the case of white-fronted geese, while we do not winter many of them, that population's objective from a flyway management plan is set at 300,000 birds. They are currently at about 700,000, and we get passage of white fronts through this state, the entire population that's encompassed in that 700,000, twice a year, once really early in the fall, once in the spring. So that limited window of opportunity, we encourage people to take as much advantage of that resource as they can. Whereas, in contrast, the Canada cacklers and the snow geese are here during the wintertime. We serve a wintering population more so than we do the migrant component. But that harvest is very restricted in the state in terms of geographic expanse. So in the case of the Skagit Valley, where we have a traditional historic wintering population of snow geese, we take extra precautions because we know that there is a lot of harvest potential in that area because of that circumstance. So one thing related to that is the ability to now, with these bag limits for geese separate, seasons and bag limits can be controlled independently of each other. Considerations of white geese can be made outside of the considerations of Canada cackling geese. They are all guided by those same 107-day sort of outer bounds, but where we can place those days is a little bit more lenient. So one of the big changes, it's really just a technical adjustment, is the ability to actually add white-fronted goose to the allowable take during the youth hunt weekend. Those two graphics are actually pulled from eBird, but they show the right-hand spike of those graphs are the pulses of white fronts through the state. And coincidentally, that happens to occur on September 22nd. So the west side youth hunt occurring on the September 22nd, 23rd weekend is an effort to take advantage of the fact that this resource in white-fronted goose is passing through at a much more predictable time period during that, and to add white-fronted geese into that allowable list. To clarify, they weren't on there before. People may have been shooting them before, but that was not actually an allowable take. One of the other geese I mentioned are brant. So brant are essentially a sea goose. They are strongly tied to eelgrass and the estuaries of western Washington. They migrate as far away as the Lena River Delta in Russia, or and the Canadian Arctic all the way down to Baja, Mexico. We have two, as I mentioned, species, well, populations that we have to consider, and you can see that in that gradient of birds in the lower picture, this dark-bellied, what we call black brant, and these lighter versions called western high arctics or gray bellies. Again, a very traditional area in Padilla in Bay in the Skagit County has long been known as this wintering area for this gray belly population. They do not occur south of here, so we have to take extra precaution in that particular bay because of, one, the historic tradition around that harvest, and two, because of this mixing effect that happens between the two populations, one of which, the population number is 150,000 flyway wide, the other of which, this gray belly, is only about 12,000. So last year, we took the step of opening both Clallam and Whatcom County to harvest for the first time in decades. That went very well. Reports from Clallam County were very positive, where that harvest had been hadn't happened for at least 30 years. It might have been more than that. But these the dates are proposed to be changed and shifted slightly back, again, because of the calendar year starting to run up. But two, because of the fact that we have to conduct a survey in that Skagit County zone that triggers the opening of that season. Because there's wild fluctuation, annual fluctuation of birds coming down from the north and timing of when that season's allowed to occur, we try to provide the best opportunity in terms of the number of days possible, but we have set thresholds that allow that season to open or close. And so while Clallam and Whatcom are set three-day seasons because they do not have this gray belly component, the Skagit, because of that mixture, depending on the threshold flight, is either a 0-3 or an eight-day season. By pushing the dates back to the 12th to the 27th of January for consideration, this gives us a much better possibility of having a count that's in that is higher, basically, to actually intersect the wintering birds rather than just migration.
I'm sorry, if you said this, Kyle, it's okay. Do you overlap any of these days, or do you try to keep them separate in that two-week period?
On the brant?
Yeah.
The brant, for Clallam and Whatcom, it overlaps the three-day season of Skagit. One, to try and disperse how many hunters are actually in those various areas.
Okay.
The 3 days would align exactly. The 8 days in Skagit, if that were to happen, then provides additional days outside of that.
Good question. Just one little brand trivia question. Is it true they never fly over land?
Well, actually, so that's true for the black brant.
Yeah,
it's turning out not to be true for the gray bellies. They actually cut it across the Northwest Territories and beeline it for the Arctic.
Interesting.
That look, we are finding that out through some of marking projects that we've been conducting. Yeah.
Interesting.
Probably a teal that you got.
So one of the proposals that we've been exploring through the three-year season setting process is a change to the season in Goose Management Area 1, which includes Skagit and Snohomish counties, related to snow geese. Again, that season had maxed out their 107-day framework total number of days that they could use. So we would have to shift days to be able to allow harvest later in the season. So part of what we were exploring was what is the best period of time to take away from the current general season to place in a later portion of that season. In Skagit Fraser, there's a state management plan guideline, a threshold that we are trying to achieve, a 50 to 70,000 goose wintering population. That current three-year index is at 90,000 birds. This winter actually dropped down from last winter's count. Last winter was 103,000. This winter was approximately 86,000. We're still running the final numbers, but The three-year, which actually sets that guideline, is currently at 90,000 birds. So an adjustment to providing days later in the season to address agricultural depredation concern was called for in the management plan. Last year, we elevated the bag limit from 4 to 6. This year, the proposal was to actually shift these days. So we, through the use of the mandatory harvest report cards that we have in this particular zone for snow geese, we were able to identify a 12-day period during the current regular season structure that wasn't really providing much harvest. That 12-day period will be shifted to an adjusted date range of February 9th to the 20th. And during this period, state land, WDFW lands that are specified in the WAC language would be closed to serve as that sort of safeguard of allowing birds on private agricultural lands to shift to public land. And also there's an adjustment that the portion during that specific 12-day period, the portion of Snohomish County east of Interstate 5 would be closed. This was brought up through public comments related to the fact that the intent revolves around the agricultural communities of the Stillaguamish and the Skagit and Samish deltas. So this extension out into the eastern part of Snohomish County wasn't really hitting that mark, as well as there are not many snow geese in that area, and in fact there are more swans in that area than snow geese. So there was a concern about potential incidental take occurring. So that is to address that concern.
Question? Yeah.
Chairman, back on slide 11, having some difficulty in the book and on the screen with the graph.
Slide 11, this one?
Yes. Yeah. So what are the red triangles and what's the gray line and what are the years?
Yes. Sorry about that. Yeah, good question. This graphic shows the overall population of Wrangell Island snow geese. So the population of snow geese that we have occurring in Washington is unique. It's nesting on Wrangell Island, Russia. So we actually have to enter in, Fish and Wildlife enters into a bilateral agreement with Russia based on this population. Traditionally, that a large proportion of that group of snow geese has wintered in the Skagit Fraser. Historically, they use salt marsh vegetation. More recently, they've crossed over into agricultural lands. So the red shows the overall population numbers, which most recently is in the approximately 350,000. About half come to Washington. The other half go into the California Central Valley. That gray line is depicting our counts on the Skagit Fraser specifically. And so that orange little dot is our most recent count of about 86,000.
So is the Central Valley wintering population showing the same kind of increase? Do you know?
So they have a mixture of populations.
Okay.
So they have about 1.7 million white geese that all pour into the Central Valley. So for them to actually make that differentiation, it's very difficult.
It's difficult. Okay.
This count comes through the red. That comes through a collaborative effort with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and a longtime researcher in Russia on Wrangell Island, Vasily Baranyak, who does presentations every winter, just about, in the Skagit region. He does ground counts, set transects, where he derives that overall population estimate of 350,000. The gray line comes from our efforts with Canadian Wildlife Service to conduct a photo inventory both in the Skagit and Fraser Valleys. So we don't know specifics on the birds when they are in California Central Valley, other than it appears about half of them right now tend to do that.
And a second question. My understanding with the snow geese in that population that seems to be trending upward is that they're benefiting from climate change, perhaps, and clutch survival. They have large clutches, and clutch survival is much better. Let me just finish. I'm noticing an upward trend on all of our geese. Is it a similar biologic effect, you know, or is that correct?
Even? No, that's a good question. So most Arctic nesting geese, which snow geese would fall within that, in certain years have benefited. The Arctic is in wild fluctuation in the last several years. There's actually been two very productive years, and then followed by this most recent year was one of the worst years that they've had. So part of the Arctic nesting strategy is that you hope for the good years, and most of them are not going to be those good years. It may be that there have been more good years consecutively than have in the past, and that could be influencing that upward trend. So for a lot of these Arctic geese, white geese, the snow geese and white fronts, yes, that could be going on. We'll continue to monitor that situation.
I'm kind of stuck over here in this cheap seat, so I'm having a heck of a time reading here. And this is just a weird question, because last fall, for some reason, over where I live, every once in a while you see some snows fly by, but that's just about the size of it. But we had quite a lot of them, and they camped there for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. So I know that there have been, we've been starting to investigate reports of wintering snow geese, particularly in the Tri-Cities area. We've been hearing of pockets elsewhere, attempting to conduct a coordinated fly-off count, basically from big reservoir roost sites that we're aware of. That obviously doesn't get all the way over in the southeast, so I don't know about that. What I can say is that the more that we're starting to learn about Wrangell Island snow geese, the group that's down in California seems to trend back and during the springtime and clip southeast Washington on their way into the Snake River Valley of Idaho.
Well, and that's what I know, talking with people across on the Camas Prairie, that's what they were going, what?
Well, with this number, there might be small numbers doing kind of odd things now. So yeah. It's good. It's good to have those observations, because it can help us cue in on areas that maybe just haven't traditionally had that presence. So. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Yeah. So one of the other proposals that revolved around goose management areas relates to Goose Management Area 2. So this includes Clark, Cowlitz, Wakayakum, Pacific, and Grays Harbor counties. This area collectively is of elevated management concern because of that closed population of dusky Canada geese. So while duskies are closed, there are six other subspecies that remain open in that zone, and we strive to balance that conservation responsibility with continuing to provide opportunity of harvest on the other populations that we can sustain harvest on. Last year, there was concern about sort of how the zones were, how the days were being allotted in the overall zone. My understanding is that this zone has kind of fluctuated back and forth between two subzones and one overall zone. Largely, the difference, though, after talking with many members of the public, particularly out in Pacific County, is that there is a difference of influence on how these geese are using the surrounding agriculture. In the coastal zones, it's much more grazing-based, and on the inland zones, it's much more crop agricultural influence. So with that in mind, we explored the option of being able to segment out part of Grays Harbor County to address that inland coastal concern, while at the same time being allowed to use the ability to control days differently in those two zones. So in the 16-17 season, there were essentially 54 effective goose days that were being allowed because harvest is constrained to just a Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday pattern. Again, this is to try to minimize the encounter of incidental take of dusky Canada geese, which are now closed. Last year, after a shift of providing more days in that very first period by allowing harvest to occur 7 days a week, we were able to do that because from data we have through transmitter marking and collar observations, it's very clear that the dusky Canada geese aren't quite getting into the system until about November 1st. So in that first period of time, basically mid-October to the end of October, there's not the conservation concern. So we wanted to make sure to maximize that. So last year we had 63 effective goose days in that overall zone. The proposal this year, by splitting out those two zones and staggering days in both the inland and the coast, would actually create the opportunity for 78 goose days to be taken advantage of. Not in any one zone. Any one zone would still have that 63. But collectively, a goose hunter that's authorized to hunt in Goose Management Area 2 would actually have 78 days that they could take advantage of. That 78 days includes the youth weekend, the September special goose hunt, which targets Canada geese, and then this regular portions of the season, which have overlapping and non-overlapping components. The coastal zone, the emphasis the idea in the coastal zone is to emphasize some of that earlier harvest opportunity. They see a lot more migrants coming through that zone and de-emphasize that late season, which extends into February-March period. Whereas the inland very much wants to emphasize that late period, that February-March time period. So this separation allows for that. Both of those things to be addressed while keeping this Goose Management Area 2 connotation.
Bob has a question.
Yeah.
The duskies making progress to recovery?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Are the duskies making progress to recovery?
The population objective for duskies is approximately 20,000, and the current status is about 15, but they've been on a upward swing.
Is harvest closed the main management strategy for that?
Correct, yes. Harvest closure is the main management strategy, and there are some strategies up on the breeding grounds, which are in the Copper River Delta, to try and enhance breeding success there.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to, on the dusky issue, and I do recall some constituents coming to us, and then there was a change. I just want to thank you for working with those folks, and we haven't heard anything from them, so I assume that all is well, and I assume that this, what you're proposing, is a kind of a continuation of the modification that you put in place. So
that's correct. Yeah, thank you.
I think, you know, it's a struggle, right? I mean, you've got competing interests. You've got the agricultural folks that are concerned and would like these the season to go later in the year, but you've got the dusky conservation issues. So kudos to you in finding a sweet spot in that.
Well,
so
we hope that's what this is. Yeah. So the public comments, I've addressed. The main concern was actually that the youth hunt dates were too early. We have addressed that by making that adjustment and splitting the two zones, or splitting the allowing opportunity on different dates in the two duck zones in Washington. The adjustment to the snow goose dates actually came out of concerns about overlap with a longtime bird festival, snow goose birding festival that's up in that zone. That did not occur in February 2017, so it wasn't really in the mindset of the conversation, but certainly that is not something we strive to do. So we have adjusted those dates to make sure that that does not overlap that last weekend of February.
Yeah.
And then I addressed the closure of Eastern Snohomish County. So one aspect that follows in line with those two adjustments, one to the snow geese and two to the Southwest Canada Goose Zone, Goose Management Area 2, is a requirement in the mandatory report. That sets a deadline for when those mandatory harvest reports are to be submitted to the department. That current deadline is February 15th. However, the structuring of the snow goose season would close the season after that, and a requirement of a mandatory report, while people have to buy an authorization for the Southwest Goose Zone currently, they are not having to mandatory, there's no mandatory report requirement. It changes nothing from a fee ask. It just is allowing us to get better numbers of what's being harvested in an effort to see whether or not we could move towards a 7-day-a-week scenario. So with both of those changes, that would require a deadline shift, and instead of creating multiple deadlines, the proposal is to move all of the waterfowl-related ones, brant, sea duck, snow goose, and Southwest Canada goose, to March 20th. So it would actually give more than a month, an extra month for people to submit their mandatory harvest report cards. Most people, there was general agreement with that. However, there was some opposition about why the need for extra reporting. Again, the reminder about dusky Canada geese is even with closures, we know in the past 2 years without a check station, there's been 12 and 11 dusky Canada geese encountered, so illegal harvest. This year, they're still tallying it as the season just closed last weekend. This year, we know there was at least six that were encountered. Four of those were actually on public lands. So we continue to do our best to educate those hunters that are in those situations. But this mandatory report allows us to actually get numbers for the total harvest that's occurring in that small region. As a quick reminder, there are other game birds that we set these bag limits for, but there is no changes proposed for bandtail pigeon, mourning dove, coot, or snipe, which would all fall within that. And the final adjustment is actually an interesting one. This final
Kyle?
Adjustment.
Kyle.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. Back on the dusky tape reporting.
Yeah.
Has that all been voluntary, or was that enforcement? combination?
In Southwest Canada Goose Zone, enforcement and our biologists work together to conduct field checks, one, to get a composition of the different subspecies that are being taken, but also for this potential encounter of right. illegal harvest. So it's both. It's enforcement and biological staff encountering.
Okay.
Those.
In my recollection is that hunter cannot hunt for the rest of the season.
That's correct. Their authorization is invalidated, and they can't hunt for the rest of the season, and they'd have to retake a mandatory ID test that is now online.
Okay.
To be able to be reauthorized for the next season.
Thank you.
So this final one relates to falconry seasons. Falconry, while a very traditional way of take, and there is a small, very avid population of falconers here in Washington, falconry season is actually directly tied to the duck season frameworks. And because of that, they have historically gotten dinged, essentially. There are 107 days in the season framework for duck, but we have to take two out for the youth hunt. So that's left falconers with only 105 days to utilize. We've been getting commentary about with the increases, particularly in the west side at Skagit with bald eagles, that late season opportunity for falconers is actually kind of diminished because by the time one of their birds takes, say, a green-winged teal or something, a bald eagle is on that from a scavenging standpoint in no time. So a lot of falconers have actually started to only basically limit their opportunity to the early season. also, from their standpoint, it is very ideal to have early season success with sort of naive migrant birds from a training aspect, sort of positive reinforcement for their training of these falcons. So what we've found out is that through consultation with the Pacific Flyway rep is that, in fact, those 2 days can overlap the youth weekend. That wouldn't pose any kind of conflict in terms of where their user groups would be, but it does provide these two extra days, both in the west and the east zones, for falconers to take advantage of. This would include the same species that are allowed during the youth hunt: duck, coot, Canada goose, and white-fronted goose. So this increased opportunity for that user group. It was an adjustment that we became aware of right at the end. So with that, those are the proposals. If there's any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Kyle. I had an opportunity once to go on a falcon hunt. That's very fascinating way to spend a day. Yeah. I'd encourage any of you that could do that. I learned a lot. Thank you. Yes.
What are you seeing on the Eurasian doves? Are they still expanding their area, or are they kind of holding tight?
In our state, I haven't heard too much chatter of much more expansion, although I'm sure it's happening. We through our normal operations of banding mourning dove, we encounter some numbers of Eurasian collared dove, but not in a way that we could really gauge that. But I don't know how much more has occurred. We don't keep any kind of tab on a...
I know a few years ago they were, it's going to be the next scourge of the world. And there again, they start showing up in our part of the world, but they seem kind of stupid because the rest of the birds all will migrate to the lower country. And
right. They're certainly widespread. That's There's no doubt of that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? That's a great photo. It reminds me of my undergrad waterfall biology course where they threw a box of wings and you had to identify them all. Thank you. Okay, well, we'll